I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of Front Porch Talks. I will be sharing on this edition solo. My son Grayson is taking a break from this particular recording, but he will be editing it and making sure that it sounds as best it can. And I pray that it will be a time of hope for your spirit, and it will lift your heart above the plane of ordinary living. I want to talk today about revival. The reason I want to talk about revival is that we will be having our summer revival season, July 20th through the 23rd. And that is a Thursday through a Sunday morning. It will be at the Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. And it will be a special season that we have been longing for and looking forward to with anticipation for some time now. We will be having services on Thursday and Friday evening, the 20th and the 21st. Those services will begin at 7 p.m. And our plan is to have a season of worship and then also to have proclamation of God's Word. Also on that same Thursday and Friday, July 20 and 21, at the noon hour, at lunchtime, we're going to have saturation time. Some worship, but certainly some more sharing of the Word of God in the form of Bible study. And we'd love to have you join us. Some come with a light lunch and a sack and just sit. And we have our lunch together as we partake of physical and spiritual food simultaneously. Also on the Saturday morning, which is July the 22nd, we're going to gather for a time of community, a time of fellowship, and we'll have pancakes and we'll talk together about how God is working in our lives and just share ordinary things with one another, conversation, laughs, and maybe a few tears. And then at 10 o'clock on that same morning after we have shared the pancake breakfast, we'll go back into the sanctuary, have a time of worship, and a time of the Word being proclaimed again. And then Sunday morning during our regular worship services at 9 o'clock and 10:30, we will conclude this season of revival during the summertime 2017. I went back through some of my old revival notes, and I want to share some things about revival. A.W. Tozer was an author of yesteryear who wrote primarily about prayer, but he also wrote many other things. He's known for his writings on prayer, and he really believed in calling the church to prayer. And of course, if you call the church to prayer, you have anticipation, expectation that revival will come. Now, I like Dennis Kinlaw's definition of revival. He said that revival is a season that we set aside to correct the spiritual slippage in our lives. And so I love revival. And we try to have one or two seasons of revival set aside time to correct the spiritual slippage in our lives at least, you know, twice a year. And so July will be one of those opportunities. And again, in September, we will be having a special season of revival. But back to A.W. Tozer, he was a 20th century writer. Some people would have called him a preacher prophet of righteousness and revival. And he had a recommendation, kind of a formula that he set out with pen and paper, if people wanted to have personal revival. Now, these writings, you know, come from way back in the 20th century, but we know that God, our God, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Lord, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Holy Spirit of God longs to give us seasons of personal revival, times when that spiritual slippage indeed is corrected. From A.W. Tozer's list, I'm going to go through and share kind of a top 10 list of things he recommended if we really wanted to see spiritual renewal, refreshment, recreation, yes, revival in our lives. The first thing he said was, get totally dissatisfied with yourself. I love the way Brother Tozer says that. He said, complacency is the deadly enemy of spiritual progress. The contented soul spiritually becomes a stagnant soul. Now, he didn't mean that we couldn't be content with the Lord. He meant that we shouldn't be content if we are not continuing to grow in the Lord. I'm reminded of a song that my dear friend Brian Arner sings. I've heard him sing it in many revival seasons. The song simply says, "Lord, I want to know you more. Deep within my heart, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you more." And I think that's what Brother Tozer was getting at when he said we need to have a discontentment with ourselves, meaning we want to be nearer to Christ, more intimate with Him, more intricate with Him in relationship, and certainly more like Him in the way that we respond in our lifetime. The second thing that A.W. Tozer spoke or wrote down, actually, about having a personal revival, he says, "Set your face like a flint toward a sweeping transformation of your life." He went on to write that timid experiments are tagged for failure before they ever start. We must throw our whole soul into our desire for God. And this reminds me of what I share often. I've shared it on Front Porch Talks, no doubt numerous times, and in my preaching and teaching, it comes to mind so often, that God is not interested in being part of our lives. God is not interested in being first place in our lives. God is not interested in being the center of our lives. God is interested in being our life, our lives. He wants to be everything to us. And so A.W. Tozer is telling us that we should throw our whole soul into our desire to know God, to gain God. That should be the greatest prize before our eyes. The third thought that A.W. Tozer writes in his formula for personal revival is this: put yourself in the place of being blessed. It's a mistake to expect God's help to come as a windfall apart from conditions known and met. To desire revival and at the same time to neglect prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk another. So A.W. Tozer is saying, don't be double-minded when it comes to revival. Don't say with your mouth that you want revival, but put aside prayer or put aside times of quiet with the Lord, times of devotion. And so we're going to need to put ourselves in the place where God can bless us. And certainly without prayer, we have handcuffed God to bring His very best into our lives. Then there is a fourth idea. Tozer says that if we really want revival, we must do a thorough job of repenting. Yes, repenting. Hasty repentance means a shallow spiritual experience. So we should let godly sorrow do its healing work within our beings. It is our wretched habit of tolerating sin that keeps us in our half-dead condition. And so what he is saying is we must pray the prayer the psalmist taught us, "Search my heart, O God, and see if there be anything offensive, anything wicked within me, and lead me to life everlasting." In other words, come and forgive and cleanse and put me in a place where I can know you and know you more. So we need to repent. Repent is turning from darkness and turning to light, turning from sin and turning to Him. And so anywhere in our life where we have been lax in our love for the Lord, we need to turn from that before our hearts grow completely cold, and we need to move toward a new relationship with the Lord. So we must do a thorough job of repenting if we hope to experience revival. Number five, we should make restitution wherever possible. In other words, if we owe a debt, we should pay it. If we have quarreled with someone, we should go as far as we can to achieve reconciliation in that relationship. As fully as possible, we should make whatever is crooked in our lives straight. You know, restitution isn't something we hear about enough these days. I remember growing up as a young boy, before I came to know Christ at age 12. I came first to know the Lord at age 12. But probably around age 11, I had stolen something from a department store. Sure had. It was a little pack of eye needles. Now, I know that sounds funny. Why would a young boy 12 want a pack of needles? But we were making necklaces with little beads in those days. That was the groovy season of life, you know, the late 60s, early 70s. And I would make these bead necklaces and bracelets and give them to friends. And one day my mom went to the department store called Roses. And I went in with her. And when she went down one aisle, I went down another. And I knew I had enough money to buy the beads and the elastic, but I didn't have quite enough to buy the needles. And I remember that the needles were 19 cents. And so the needles were very thin in a little package, so I slipped them off the counter and slipped them in my pocket. I went to the counter and paid for the other items, but I left with those stolen needles in my pocket. Well, shortly after that, I came to an altar to pray and ask God's forgiveness. And boy, all I could see were those needles. And I prayed and I asked God to forgive me and to make me a child of His. And then that week, very early in the week, no doubt, I went to an envelope and I found the address for Rose's department store, and I put a stamp on the envelope, and inside there I put a piece of paper wrapped up a quarter, and I taped it in the envelope and I dropped it in the mail. I don't know what the manager of Rose's thought when they got that quarter in the mail, but I had written probably something in there about I had been in your store and I had stolen some needles and I wanted to make things right. And this is restitution. You know, sometimes we want to make things right with God, but we don't think about making things right with others. And A.W. Tozer tells us that we should make restitution whenever possible. Now, I know there might be times that restitution is not possible, but God honors the humility of a heart that wants to make things right. And that will bring revival. There's another thought that Tozer gives us, number six. He says, bring your life into accord with the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught and other New Testament scriptures which are designed to instruct us in the way of righteousness, the way of holiness, the way of knowing God in a right relationship. And so an honest person with an open Bible and a pad and a pencil or a computer and whatever, making notes in other words, is a sure way to find out what's wrong with themselves quickly. In other words, open the Bible, go to see what Jesus has said about being right with the Father, and make those things noted in our own lives and begin to pray that God will bring our lives into unity, into oneness, into accord with the scriptures that we read in the Gospels especially, but the whole Word of God as He leads us. Number seven, A.W. Tozer says, if you really want a formula for personal revival, you'll need to add this, be serious-minded. You see, the people of the world used to go to places that really believers don't belong. It was a way of escape where they didn't have to think about God. They didn't have to think about their lost soul. And it's not that we can't live in the world. We can, but we can't let the world live in us. And so we shouldn't be looking for ways of escape like the world looks for ways of escape. Now, there's nothing wrong with a vacation or taking a time of solitude, or I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about keeping ourselves busy just so we don't have to think about spiritual things. And what he is saying is if we're serious-minded, we won't just run off and make recreation our God when we've not done recreation with our souls in the presence of the Lord. And so, won't be any improvement in our interior life if we allow our exterior to be full of what the world says is important, and especially, we cannot embrace sin. So we need to be serious-minded when it comes to spiritual things, not just push off things and say, I'll deal with it later. Number eight, for personal revival, deliberately narrow your interest. You see, too many projects use up time and energy without bringing us nearer to God. And it's not what we do that matters so much to God. It's who we are in relationship with Him. And sometimes we get so busy religiously that we avoid, even neglect, the relationship with Jesus Christ. So there must be a radical change in our habits, or there will be no permanent improvement in our spiritual being. So we really, really want to deliberately narrow our interest and make sure that we have focus on the things eternal, not just the things temporal. Number nine, A.W. Tozer says, begin to witness, testify. Find something to do for God, yes, but also for your fellow man, for other people. And begin to make your life available to other lives. Work with others who are in hard places. Serve them with a loving heart. And begin to let your life be the testimony, be the witness. I think it was that old saint And I'm trying to pull his name right now. I'm sure it will come to me here in just a moment. Saint Francis of Assisi. I believe he is the one who's credited with this thought. Preach all the time, and when necessary, use words. Now, I do think there's a time when words are necessary, but our lives can be a witness by the way we live our lives. We become light in darkness. We become salt to bring flavor to the world. And that flavor is Jesus Christ Himself. So we must begin to witness, begin to tell others what the Lord has done for us, but also to live our life in such a way that there will be no reproach on God by the way we live our daily lives. Number 10, of course, A.W. Tozer would not leave this out because it is so essential in any formula for personal revival. He says, have faith in God. In other words, begin to anticipate that God is going to bring revival, renewal, refreshment to your soul and to the souls of others. Begin to live in expectancy. Look up toward the throne of God. All heaven is leaning our way as we seek the heart of God. God will not disappoint us if we will have faith in God. The writer of the Hebrews said in chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please God. And so certainly if we want to please God and want to have revival and spiritual renewal come into our very lives, certainly we're going to have faith that God can and will do that. And so let's lock horns with faith on the altar and call out for revival. Now I want to make a brief overview of these thoughts before I close with prayer. Let me go back through them. In case you were making notes, I want to give you the opportunity to hear them all at once. A.W. Tozer, 20th century preacher, gives us these ideas, a formula perhaps, for personal revival in our lives. Number one, get thoroughly dissatisfied with yourself. Complacency is the deadly enemy of spiritual progress. Number two, set your face like a flint toward a sweeping transformation of your life. Timid experiments are tagged for failure before they start. We must throw our whole soul into our desire for God. Number three, put yourself in the way of blessing. Don't expect God to come unless we meet conditions for revival. We cannot neglect prayer and devotion. We can't wish one way and walk another. Number four, do a thorough job of repenting. Make sure that we have turned in godly sorrow from any darkness and any sin and turned to light and turned to Him. Number five, make restitution wherever possible. Make things right that we have made wrong. We can bring reconciliation, and that can certainly usher in revival. Then we come to number six. Bring your life into unity, into oneness, into accord with the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught and other scriptures in the gospel especially that instruct us in the way of righteous living. Number seven, be serious-minded about your spiritual condition. Don't laugh it off. Don't get in some escape like the world does so you forget your spiritual lostness. No, come serious to Jesus. Come sincerely, and He will be sure to bring the healing to our souls that we need. Number eight, deliberately narrow your interest. Don't have too much energy expended to projects that are really just temporal. Keep your eyes on the eternal things, not just the things you can see in the here and now. Number nine, begin to witness. Tell someone how good God is every day. Find things to do where God will get glory from your life. Do things for others to let them know that you have Jesus as your everything. Make yourself available to people. Learn to obey. That was something I hadn't mentioned along with that beginning to witness number nine, but certainly it includes learning to obey. The songwriter said, he wrote an old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So when we begin to witness, we begin to obey. You know, I have a message I'm planning, and by the time this program has aired, I probably will have preached it. Acts 1 and verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so we are called to witness, and when we do witness, we are obedient to the call. And so, O Lord, find us faithful to be in your witnesses in the way we live, in the way you live through us, and in the way that we obey. Finally, number 10, have faith in God. Anticipate, expect that God will meet you. The Word says if we seek God with all our heart, we will find God. And so we should be looking up toward the throne of mercy, crying out in the name of Jesus, pleading the blood of our Savior, knowing that all heaven is eager to meet our need here on planet Earth. When I was a boy, we had a hymn we used to sing very often. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. There's a lot of expectancy in that song, a lot of anticipation. And I pray that we would have faith and believing as we seek revival for our lives and for our world, that we would begin to know that if we pray and we obey and we have faith and we expect God to be God, that we surely shall experience renewal in righteousness, in right living with God and with one another. It has been a glorious program for me. It's helped me personally to review this formula that Mr. Tozer put out so many years ago, maybe 100 years. Who knows? I don't have the exact date on the notes I've made. But I do know that the road to revival is through repentance. And this means that we forsake sin and we retrace our steps to where we left off walking with the Lord the way we should. And so I pray that we will have a deep desire on this road to revival, that we will want to correct any spiritual slippage that has happened as we have lived our daily lives. And we will come nearer to the heart of God than we have ever been, ever in our existence. I want to remind you just one more time, in case you listen to this program before our revival, and it certainly will be posted and played before then, because my son Grayson is faithful to get every detail taken care of, to make sure that Front Porch Talks is happening and coming your way. But our revival will be July 20th through the 23rd. The 20th, Thursday at noon, we will meet at the church, 1871 Boyers Road, in the Quad Room. You're welcome to bring a sack lunch as we study the Word of God and worship together. And then Thursday night, the 20th, at 7 o'clock in our main sanctuary, we'll be having a revival service. And then on Friday at noon again, we'll be gathering in the Quad Room. Feel free to bring your lunch again and have spiritual and physical nourishment in community with us. And then again on Friday night at 7, we'll be having worship and also the proclamation of God's Word. And then on Saturday morning, the 22nd, we will be having pancakes at 9 o'clock. And by 10 o'clock, we'll have that wrapped up and begin our service again in the sanctuary of worship and Word. So we ask that you would begin praying even now. Begin seeking God's heart, not only for your life, but for the life of those in your circle of influence, for the local church and for the community that we live in, and that God would find good kindling among us to start revival fires that wouldn't just be contained to the Shenandoah Valley, but would go beyond even into the whole world. I pray that this program has been hope for your life. I pray that you know that the Lord loves you and wants to meet you where you are, not where you pretend to be. He wants to come where you cry out to Him and meet you and bring you to where you should be and want to be in your relationship with Jesus. Lord, I want to know you more. Deep within my heart, I want to know you. Yes, Lord, I want to know you more. And this is the cry of my heart as we lean into revival, expecting God to do what He desires to do among us and within us. God bless you is my prayer. Peace in the name of Jesus.